Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it. Okay, so, because it's the hot button issue of the past couple days here in Wrestle World, which is, I'm assuming, is going to be an upcoming Ring of Honor pay-per-view at some point.
That's not a bad name.
Wrestle World?
Wrestle World? I was thinking, like, convention, but yeah. Like, that would be a good...
Maybe that would be our final, our eventual Classic Ring Attire convention.
Wrestle World?
The Wrestle World.
We'll put it in the back.
Remember that
pocket.
Fake commercial I wanted to make? And I had, like, with all these inside jokes, that would make zero sense now. Anyway, the hot button issue of the past couple days is the Brie Bella situation.
Right.
For those who don't frequent Reddit all that much... during Monday Night Raw, in the big six-woman tag match, Brie was doing the yes kicks.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember. There was one where she stiffed Liv Morgan pretty hard.
Right.
And I don't know if it was before or after, like, the one where she, like changed up the cadence mm-hmm. of the kicks. I feel like she caught one and then immediately, then like that's when, I guess it she caught herself off guard and that's why she messed up the cadence because that second one completely knocked out Liv Morgan.
Right.
And for some reason, the announcers told everyone that, you know, oh, she's been taken to the back when she was like there at ringside getting tended to by doctors. And I believe they've said that she had a concussion from it.
Yeah.
There's a lot that's been said, you know, because this is the third straight time.
Is it the third? I thought it was the second.
I hear conflicting stuff all over the place.
And
like the other times, you know, really the only person in danger was Brie, especially right. when she did those two suicide dives.
Right.
And, you know, completely botched both of them. The only person in danger there ended up being Brie. This is really the first time that I'm aware of, unless there's something I'm forgetting about, where she's put someone else in danger.
So I'll start with some of the devil's advocate arguments here.
Sure.
One thing is people mess up all the time.
Sure.
Like,
it happens.
Especially in this business that has decided that it's mostly going to be improv.
Yeah.
You know, I do this theater stuff occasionally.
Yeah.
And occasionally we have stage fighting in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it is mind-numbingly annoying how safe people are with this.
Right.
And like, I understand and I'm appreciative of it, mm-hmm. but at the same time, it takes so long.
Yeah.
And you practice every move 30 times, you know, before alone, before you even come with another person. And
yeah.
we practice this whole run through before every show
mm-hmm.
of the fight sequence. And this is a completely different methodology of stage
sure.
combat mm-hmm. than what they're doing in WWE.
No, they don't go over any of this stuff 30 times
right.
with that the person that they're in the ring
right.
with. They might practice a move over time throughout mm-hmm. their career, but not like 30 times before the show.
Right. And if they have like a major, like, hey, can Brock Lesnar do a shooting star press? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe he should try it before everybody comes out and watches it.
Right.
So like they'll be the occasional things that they'll try, but because of that,
mm-hmm.
mess ups happen.
Right.
Now, also, tiny mess-ups happen.
sure.
all the time.
That you never notice.
That aren't a big deal.
Well, yeah.
Like, oh, you didn't land that perfect, or you struggled a little bit.
Yeah.
One of my, not issues, but one of my, I think the reasons that I personally don't find the joy in botchamania that a lot of people do is mm-hmm. so many of those clips, I don't catch what the botch is quick enough. Like, there's some major ones, but he
well,
also
sure.
throws in a lot of, like, just slips or, like, oh, this person had to, like, set twice before
yeah.
they made that move safely.
Mm-hmm.
Just anything that's not as smooth and fluid as possible
right.
gets put into those sometimes.
Sure.
Especially not the early stuff and not the current stuff, but, like, mm-hmm. there was a time in the middle where he was like, I'm going to make 40-minute episodes every 2 weeks.
Fair.
And you're like, oh, you're you're really reaching on some of these
Yeah.
You know, quote unquote botches.
Sure.
So on one hand, somebody making a botch, you know, that I think that's part of where the 2 or 3 weeks comes in, or, you know, weekly that some people are saying, right, is like, you know, yeah, I think you could take anybody and be like, oh, they weren't perfectly smooth, you know, in every mm-hmm. moment, or, oh, and they telegraphed this move and whatever.
Yeah.
And then I will also say some people like working stiff.
Sure.
Some people
mm-hmm.
require it almost, I guess.
Yeah.
They don't like the pulled punches. They, if you hit me, you're going to hit mm-hmm. me, you hit me.
Yeah.
And so while you might have your own opinions on, you know, the safety
yeah.
and what it is, this industry and this company as a whole has decided that, you know, consensual working stiff is a fine thing. And I'm not going to say like, oh, that was a stiff move is automatically a bad thing.
Sure.
Now, working one stiff, you know, yes mm-hmm. kick is stupid because there's a lot of yes kicks.
Right.
You shouldn't do like, all right, we're going to do 4 of them regular and then we'll do a stiff one.
Right.
Like that doesn't.
Well, like that's the way that the original yes kick is. Like a few of them like to the chest area and then mm-hmm. one to like the back of the head. And that's yeah. the way Daniel Bryan always did it. He never like, you know, did one really hard kick to the chest. Like mm-hmm. they were all pretty equal.
Yeah.
And they're all, you know, had the same cadence to it. I'm really thinking, like, in this specific case, like I said, I think that there was one that she maybe got away from her or something. It went higher than it was supposed to, and it caught both her and Liv off guard. And I think the surprise of that caused her to change up the cadence and kind of, like, panic through the last kick while Liv was, like, still recovering from, you know, the one before it, and you know, dipped her head down and bang, like right in the head.
Right.
Not saying that any of this was Liv's fault at all because she's not the one throwing the kicks. And I don't, because people have off nights, you know, it happens.
Right, yes.
And you really hope that those off nights aren't too close to each other as far as, you know, especially in wrestling because you have someone else's life in your hands.
Right.
You know, because you had, you know, that was a time a couple years ago when people were just trying to say that, you know, Seth was an unsafe worker. Or, excuse mm-hmm. me, Bret Hart was trying to say that Seth was an unsafe worker.
Right.
There was no real witch hunt, you know, saying from the fans.
Right.
Saying, you know, all, you know, and there's a little bit of a double standard here, but just because the internet fans are the ones that don't really care for the Bellas at all.
Right.
And so, of course, when one has a string of botched moves from week to week, and one of them ending up with hurting someone else by accident, that's, you know, the pitchforks are out.
Right.
You know, and there, like I said, there is a double standard here. But at the same time, how much of a sample size do you need when you're like, okay, well, maybe we need to reel you back.
Right.
I
think we talked about this off the podcast beforehand.
Yeah.
Speculation, and this is wild speculation.
Yeah, this is just us, like, thinking of what the possible reason behind these botches
right.
could be.
Is this idea that now that Daniel Bryan's back, and Daniel Bryan's been back for like 6 months, actually in the ring doing stuff, and this is really the first time Brie Bella has been extensively associated with him. Like, there'll be moments where she would come down and celebrate with him in
sure.
the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew that they were a couple. Mm-hmm.
And there was a you know, there was a time or two after the retirement or after while he was injured where she would come out and do a couple, like, you know, like a wink and a nod to his moveset here and there.
Right. But now that he is back full time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've worked together.
Right.
Yeah.
There is kind of this, and she's adopted a lot of, she does yeses and mm-hmm. obviously the, you know, yes kicks.
And the suicide dives.
Yes.
Yeah.
It feels like she is molding herself into like the women's division or Divya's division, whatever version of Daniel Bryan,
right?
As far as moveset goes,
right? Because, and if you look, a lot of these botches are her attempting to do Daniel Bryan moves,
right?
I think one of them, I think that there was the the suicide dives 3 weeks ago. I think 2 weeks ago, I think that move where someone's like on the second rope and she kind of comes in from behind and kind of knees him or like and hits him with like the inside thigh or whatever. I think that was a little stiffer than it should have been. I think that's what people were talking about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Which isn't a Daniel Bryan move, you know, to be fair. But at the same time, she's, I feel like, not that she isn't properly trained, because I'm 100% sure that Daniel Bryan goes through these moves with her as often as they can.
Right.
There's an entire, there's basically an entire reality show on it, you know. There literally is proof. But at a certain point, you've got to realize that some people just don't have that ability to pull off these moves safely.
Right.
You know, like, I don't think Brie Bella should ever do a suicide dive again.
Well, and it's...
Unless she's, you know, made some amazing strides.
Daniel Bryan knows how to throw Daniel Bryan shape and size through the ropes as safely as possible. Mm-hmm. And some of that is just, like, the thing with...
And some of that is done through trial and error.
Yeah. So, for example, just to bring it back, the Brock Lesnar shooting star press.
Yeah.
That was a moment.
Yeah.
But that would stress me out to see it every week, because that is not a body that is designed
to do that. And apparently it was something
that
he had done successfully, like, in his FCW days.
Right.
It was something that was in his repertoire. It just, he didn't really bring it out.
Even if he pulled that off successfully, there is something about watching that size of a guy do that move and come that close to it going disastrously wrong that I couldn't handle it, you know, seeing that be his finisher.
Yeah. First, I don't know what really got into me, but I got in the mood to rewatch the Women's Royal Rumble in January. And there was a part when Lita comes out and she does her backflip off the top rope, and it takes really long time for her to make that rotation where you get a little nervous at the last second. And it's again, like, I don't know if I could, like, I know she's not going to be coming back full time at any time in the near future, but I'm like, I'm okay if you don't really pull that out.
Well, like, and some of that's like, okay, when's the last time she pulled that move off?
Maybe at Raw 1000 when she hit it on Heath Slater.
Yeah.
I think maybe. And that was 2012.
Yeah.
So.
And there's absolutely, even if you come out to the ring ahead of time, you know, you pull off the move, you're like, yep, I still got it. Mm-hmm. That's completely different than doing it in the middle of a match, heat of the moment.
Right.
Giant crowd.
Let's put it this way. Okay. Brie Bella, the Bellas in general, are an established commodity.
Yes.
If you want to just look at, you know, everyone in the WWE is in a commodity at some fashion. Some are not established. Some are trying to be established. Some are very new.
Right.
The Bellas are very established as a certain thing. And I'm not saying that they should be boxed in or anything, but there really is no need for them to branch out and wrestle in a way that they never have before.
Right.
You know, like, we're not expecting a 5-star technical bout featuring any of the Bellas, you know?
Right.
So there's really no need for her to try to get some indie cred for doing Daniel Bryan moves. You know what I'm saying?
I do. I don't know what the Bellas want, both as a unit, the Bella twins, and then individually. Mm. Like, I don't know what their end goal is necessarily. They are...
Ratings.
I mean them personally, because Daniel Bryan
ratings for the reality show.
And that's the thing.
That's 100% what they want.
They are
personal life.
They are obviously very invested in this reality show, working very hard on it. Like, and that's the thing is, like, I fully believe they are working hard, getting this show what it needs.
Right.
That is something that they're fully invested in. Mm-hmm. But so, do they care if they're ever women's champion? Do they care if they ever headline a WrestleMania match ever again? Do they care if, you know, these women pay-per-views can hopefully should continue to be a thing? Do they care if they are ever the main event of that?
Yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe they don't, but maybe they do. Maybe there is some, like, she sees Daniel Bryan, and Daniel Bryan, because Daniel Bryan is just the epitome of what could be.
Yeah.
and this fire, this passion, this excitement.
Mm-hmm.
And even, and I don't know if Brie has it for the wrestling, the art of wrestling.
Yeah.
But maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to, I don't want to crap on her entirely. I do think there's a little bit of like, okay, let's evaluate what is safe and let's evaluate what we're capable of and what is the best thing to do. There are people who are brazenly unsafe in the ring and don't care. There's like the Sexy Star incident.
Right.
Where it's like at that point, no, you
sure.
You don't come back from that. You're terrible. And
that's someone's temper getting in the way and of it's temper getting in the way of their own ego. And the Sexy Star situation was done with a certain, with a level of maliciousness to it.
Yes.
You know? Like, that's a different situation than with Brie. Like, Brie, you could tell, like, this was an accident.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she is trying some moves that maybe might be outside of her skill set.
Right.
Or her ability. But there's no maliciousness done.
I don't think there is. And I don't even necessarily think it's carelessness. I think it's biting off more than you can chew.
Sure.
And I think it might be a bad idea.
Right.
But I don't think it's a brazen disregard for
right
her safety or no other cause, wrestler's safety.
No cause for pitchforks. No cause for, you know, for Twitter outrage.
I don't think so.
Again, but there seriously needs some evaluating done as far as what she should and shouldn't do in the ring,
mm-hmm.
or what she should and shouldn't attempt. Have you watched the clip like of just the clip of the Yes Kicks for Monday Night?
No, I watched through it with regular.
If you do, and if our listeners can stomach it, click on it. But focus on like her partners, Nikki and Natalya in the ring or in the on the corner. They're yesing with her, and then when it goes wrong, you just look, especially Natalya, you're just like mid yes with her hands up and hands are down, like oh god, like it's a real. There's not really a whole lot funny in this situation, but that part, it's a little
right,
humorous.
Right.
Yeah. So like that's really all I had to talk about this week.
we are, and part of it is, I'm trying to think back when I feel like I had a week's worth of stuff to talk about every week.
Yeah.
Because it feels like we've been struggling for a long time, and it feels like we've been like grasping at those pay-per-view weeks.
There's one thing I would, you know, like to kind of touch on, and maybe it's not really, it's a tangent of this. It's WWE handling the situation. And because they always put up a post on WWE.com of like so and so is injured during Monday Night Raw, you know, whatever. They did that, and like there was an injury sustained to Liv Morgan during Monday Night Raw, and then they included a tweet from Brie, you know, saying you know, oh my God, thinking of you, Liv, or something along those lines. And this is like, okay, why, why do we need a tweet from the person that did it? Yeah. Why do we need a tweet at all? You know, like, as soon as this happened, WWE seemed very quick to be like, well, they didn't mean it. They're really trying to protect the Bellas.
Yeah, and that's what it is. I was saying, that's what it is. It's that
protect Brie the Bellas at all costs.
Yeah, part of the face of the company, part of the
right
charity, the corporation, the goodwill.
Which is dumb, and they shouldn't be. I know they have their reality shows or whatever, and they can do their reality shows all they want. I don't watch them. Like, they're something easily ignorable.
Yeah.
But they should not be the face of your division. There, you're not on the show for half the year until it's time to shoot Total Divas. Not when it's time to shoot Total Bellas, because they can do that away from WWE, and they have.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But when it's time to shoot Total Divas, all of a sudden they want to seem integral to the women's revolution or integral to this new WWE all women pay-per-view. Like, anytime there's just regular ho-hum stuff going on, Bellas are nowhere to be found. But as soon as there's something historical, like the Royal Rumble or the I don't know if they were in the Battle Royal for the Uterus Cup. But you know, as soon as the evolution they started building towards that, here comes the bells again. It's just like, it is not for, and there's something, I've said this about Natalia's mic work as well, but there's something just disingenuous and gross about how they go about their involvement with WWE these days.
Yeah.
Nothing that they do seems to be done with any sort of passion from within over the sport.
Well, I don't.
It all seems done not for any sort of like self-fulfillment or commitment to the company or anything. It all seems to be done to bring up the Bella brand.
Well,
and there's something incredibly gross about that.
It is, and I don't know. I'm fine with it on an awareness level.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the kind of thing where when I'm like, WWE is a brand.
Right.
And so I am frustrated / understand why these part-timers have been, you know, such a big spot on all the big shows.
Sure,
but yeah. It's like, oh, why are these guys coming back these four random times a year that we know aren't random? They're strategically placed for these reasons. Mm-hmm. And so most of my complaints and arguments for there are going into, you are not building up your future eventual part-timers.
Yeah.
Like Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar. There's a lot of arguments like, they're really old now, and why does this matter? I don't care. And a lot of that, I'm like, yeah, okay. I get it. I don't really care because, on one hand, I understand.
Right.
I understand that once in a lifetime did mega gangbusters.
Sure.
You know, WrestleMania 28
mm-hmm.
sold incredibly well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then, like, I also begrudgingly get, like, WrestleMania 29 sold really well. Now, yeah. It sold less than 28 because
it's twice in a lifetime.
Right.
The sequel never went back
to the stupid well.
The sequel hardly ever does the same amount of business that the original does.
And, you know, if you had had CM Punk in a triple threat with those guys to mm-hmm. add a new element to it, then what could you have done but getting off topic.
Right.
So, mm-hmm. my point is, with the Bellas, I get that the Bella brand is an offshoot of the WWE brand, mm-hmm. and there is business advantage to protecting that.
Sure.
And I don't think anyone in this group that loves creating the art of wrestling
mm-hmm.
really cares about them.
No.
And what's interesting is this one Daniel Bryan connection. Daniel Bryan is married to Brie Bella.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Bryan would wrestle in a high school gym for 9 people
right.
and put his life on the line doing it
mm-hmm.
if he could.
If that
was the only way to get wrestling.
Sure.
And so there is that one connection of this brand, this Bella brand, to the art of wrestling,
mm-hmm.
if we're going to call it that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I throw the Bellas in with the, like, necessary stuff that's not for me.
Fair.
I appreciate, you know, we have friends who got into wrestling
because
through that
Bellas.
Avenue.
Yeah.
And like on a 12 or not on a 3-hour show, I don't need 3 hours of content that is right up my alley pushing my buttons.
Sure.
Now we're getting to like 6 minutes of content that's right up my alley pushing my buttons and like maybe a compromise. I'm like,
yeah.
I'm not asking for all the whole 3 hours.
Right.
You can do your, you know, comedy bit and your mm-hmm. part-timer and your this thing that's really just to promote the Marine 23. And then
right.
like, but maybe a little bit.
I did that the point you brought up, it did bring up a interesting question I want to pose to you. And it's totally a way that we can pad the time on this podcast. You brought up, you know, the success of WrestleMania 28 with Once in a Lifetime.
Okay.
Eventually. And we talked about how much good business it did. Like, how the amount of pay-per-view buys that it got. That monster of success that
okay.
WrestleMania 28 was. Do you think that's what really kind of, like, broke the doors open for WWE to really emphasize, like, these part-timers in, like, these big pay-per-view spots.
Yeah,
because, like, you know, I know that they were talking to Brock before that.
Right.
You know, because Brock came back that next day.
Right.
So it's not like, oh, this is gangbusters today. Tomorrow, get Brock on the phone. We're going to get him on Raw tomorrow. Like, no, I'm not trying to be that naive. But, you know, you had such a large emphasis on these part-timers from that point on. Like, Undertaker was kind of a part-timer at that point, and so was Triple H.
So I would say it's a lot of things kind of coincidentally happening at the same time.
Right.
One of it is that's right when Undertaker and Triple H kind of moved into this part-time thing.
28 was when they did the end of an era. Right. Or so we thought.
Right, exactly. So we get one more one.
Kind of laugh time. From not crying.
But, I mean, you know, Undertaker was champion not going into 26, but, you know, on his way, Shawn Michaels cost him his championship. That's why.
That Elimination Chamber, yeah.
Yeah, that's why that. They finally got that fight.
Mm-hmm.
So Undertaker was on and then had a whole Kane thing. Undertaker was supposed to be champion again. He was supposed to come back and be champion, and Rey Mysterio kicked him in the face.
Right.
So he was on for one night.
Right.
But like, and that was the kind of thing where like Undertaker never really came back after that. And so this established thing became a part-time thing.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Triple H. I think you could also even point to, because Rock came back at 27 technically.
Well, yeah.
And right before that was Bret Hart coming back. And I think that might have been the, that might have been the trigger.
Maybe the Bret Hart thing was like, all right, well, maybe we need to start bringing back people while they still can.
Well,
Bret Hart couldn't.
I think the Bret Hart thing was this trigger of like, everybody, because it was always everybody comes back except for Bret Hart.
Sure.
And now it's everybody comes back. Like that was everybody will eventually be in WWE.
Right.
That was the trigger point. Everybody comes back. Everybody has a price. Was that Bret Hart moment?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, okay, The Rock, who is, you know, been gone. What is that? Like, you know, this feeling of once people are gone, they're gone. Their eras are over.
Mm-hmm.
They've gone on to other things. Suddenly stops being a thing. I feel. It's almost like when they killed Superman in comics, and then that suddenly became this permission of, like, we can kill these guys and bring them back.
Right.
And then you name a superhero, they've died.
Yeah.
And so I think it was Bret Hart more than The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
If you'll notice, I think The Rock was gone 7 years.
Yeah.
And then came back in 2011. So he's been back as long as he was gone the first time. Which feels
quote unquote back.
Yeah, I understand quote unquote back, but like,
because again, like he hasn't been on WWE TV in a while.
No, it's
since the Rusev, like when he like surprised everyone against Rusev.
Yeah,
and that was a couple years ago.
Yeah.
So
yeah, back is it, but it just it feels weird that when he came back for 27, it just felt like he's been gone so long.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, like I was just had this thought, you know. While we were, you know, getting ready for this whole Australia thing, you know, Shawn Michaels was gone for 4 years between 1998 and 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh my God, such a long time ago. Does he still have it? And now they're talking about him coming back almost a decade.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a decade, essentially.
Almost.
Since he last wrestled. And now they're talking about him coming back. You know, like, it doesn't seem... Those two things just doesn't seem, you know, comparable. I don't know. Like, it just seems like it was this whole, it's just been a domino thing. Like, and I, that was a good point you made with Bret Hart. It's all been kind of domino things since then where WWE's just realizing, like, okay, that got a lot of reaction. What if we bring back this person? And that gets a lot of reaction. And then it keeps going and keeps going. And then you have, you know, Saudi princes who will pay millions to bring back people. And I'm like, all right, well, it's good for business now.
Yeah.
You know, like, well, there was a story, I don't know if it had any truth to it, but it might have just been a random person saying stuff on Twitter that, you know, that same prince was, like, wanting to pay millions of dollars to make The Rock the champ again, leading into Crown Jewel or something. And I'm like, okay. I'm not sure if that had any truth to it or not, but it seems plausible in this day and age, the way with WWE basically bowing to his will.
Well, and you have this part-time thing happening at the same time as you have WWE buying up everybody on the roster.
Sure.
You know, if there's any wrestler that was showing any sort of talent, it was this like, yep, sure, why not? Just to be safe, we're going to grab them. Maybe. And we're only just now starting to get this Cody, Young Bucks, Kenny Omega thing where they're like, no, we're good.
Yeah.
And those are the, you know, that's like the small
I'll watch
group.
You say that and they all sign with WWE in January.
And maybe they will, but we know that they have been offered it and not come back. I mean, there is people who didn't necessarily like need it, but like of course you go to WWE, that's security, that's name recognition, that's everything that you need for this bump. You know, Ricardo Rodriguez can still do stuff based off of his WWE career. That's the most job security you can have in this business is former WWE superstar.
Sure, 100%.
And so we have this small group of guys who we know have said, no, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first time, you know.
Yeah, really. Since WCW, really.
Yeah.
Where people will be okay with turning down a WWE offer. I had an idea, and it might be a solution to a lot of things.
Okay.
Thinking about this Saudi Arabia show, Crown Jewel, coming up in early November.
Right.
Okay. And a lot has been said about, you know, females not being on the show and just women not really having not anywhere near the same amount of rights as men in Saudi Arabia, period.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you also have this very well-known knowledge now that the prince in Saudi Arabia, huge wrestling fan, but not exactly the most up-to-date wrestling fan, okay? He's a little bit behind. What if one of his, you know, handlers or whatever, just show him a few episodes of the Mae Young Classic? Suddenly, women are, you know, just as capable as men. They get all the rights just so he can have some of these women on this Mae Young Classic be on the next Crown Jewel show or whatever. Just saying. I think someone hasn't shown him the right clip yet. Because all he sees is, apparently, Attitude Era. And Attitude Era isn't the best sample.
No, it's not.
Why not?
Okay.
Just show him a few episodes of the
Mae Young
Classic.
But
is he going to be that deeply offended? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, probably. Probably. But assuming...
But once he gets past that initial shock, you know...
Do you think somebody has to, like, edit out Lita and Trish Stratus from his Attitude Era episodes?
Oh, I'm 100%. That maybe, honestly...
Do you think there's somebody's job to, like, pre-screen the WWE content to get all the women's content out of it before he watches
Short answer, yes. Long answer, maybe that's why he's so far behind. It's like someone is just editing all of this stuff out, and he's just now getting it to him. Maybe that's what it is.
I am sure that's what it is. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that you've cracked
I mean, Nate, and he might be a late bloomer. He might not have started watching professional wrestling until, like, a few years ago. So he's had to work his way through, like, the 50s. Of pro wrestling, all like recorded video pro wrestling. That's when he started.
Speaking of that, I actually can segue that.
All right, bring it on.
So WWE changed the then now forever title at the top of the show.
I'm waiting for someone to do something despicable so they have to edit it out with other footage.
The absolute first thing you see is Hulk Hogan now.
It is?
Yeah.
I didn't notice.
I mean,
I didn't really pay much attention.
Clear footage is Hogan slamming Andre.
Okay. I mean, so, he is technically with the company again.
I don't
have
know.
A working relationship now.
I don't know. It's interesting because the last time they had clips was the, yes, sir, we promise you a great main event tonight.
Yeah.
Gorgeous George, our classic Mega Kings, Andre the Giant. Da, 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 da.
It's weird that you still know that.
That's burned into my head. So.
I just have the, you know, bong, 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 bing, bong, bing, bong, bing,
well,
bong, bing, bong, boom.
It's interesting because the version that's seared into my head is the one that has Everybody Has a Price in it, which they put in to replace Hulkamania's Running Wild after Hulk did the unforgivable sin of being on TNA.
Right.
That's what got him
That's what got him taken off.
And X from the company. But now here he is back front and center slamming Andre the Giant. And that's like the first thing you see. So
sure.
But so they have this. So it's then, and it's, you know, Golden Age stuff and Attitude Era stuff. Then it's now, and it's, you know, Roman Reigns and the Shield and stuff. And then I'm watching, I'm like, forever. I'm like, they're going to do robot wrestlers. I'm very excited. And then forever, they did nothing. They just did like some more clips of stuff.
Because you can't, this isn't a time travel, Joel.
I'm pretty sure they time traveled on an episode of Raw that we watched live. I believe we watched the New Day time travel into the future.
Fair. But that was also a cardboard box.
Allegedly.
Okay. It would have been funny if Forever had like XFL clips or something.
I was like, I was really excited. I was like, they're going to do something. They're going to do like Cena Jr. Or they're going to do.
I'm surprised like the Forever thing, they didn't have like, you know, women wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, featured like in that moment. I you know, with the direction that they're going right now and the strong emphasis they're putting behind it and the whole, like, you know, patting themselves on the back for it, I figure that's what they would have done.
Well, it's the kind of thing where, again, just to shout out to the unbelievable editing power of WWE, I have almost universally loved their theme songs for years. And even if I don't like the song, the video package that goes with the song feels like I'm about to watch something crazy. And like, I'm even going back to like when Nickelback did the song.
Going out tonight. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, to get the dairy song. Whatever it was. I'm assuming it was a cow milking lyric.
Okay.
They said we're going out tonight to get the dairy, right? That's what they said.
Going out tonight, to get the dairy something. Yeah.
Yeah. It was about milking cows.
All right.
It's a country song.
I don't think it is, but okay.
Anyway, my point is the videos accompanying it looked great. It was great moments were picked. Highlighting people was really well done. Everything looked good in there, even if it was, you know, all right, we've got, you know, here's the show. It's really lackluster.
Yeah.
Watching the intro. And I've always liked it. You know, a lot of times, especially recently, it feels like they do a theme song like maybe once a month.
Yeah, I'm sitting here trying to, while I always talk about the theme song, I'm still trying to figure out if like they're still doing that Tonight's the Night song.
Yeah. Well, and like 205 Live has their like CGI Power Rangers now.
They do.
And you're like, I want to see these guys. Like that, those guys are just theme song highlight reels all night long.
You know what theme song I really like? NXT. And it's again, like NXT, like the NXT song seems heavier than they would go for a theme song in 2018, but it fits.
Yeah.
You know, I was still like kind of, you know, miffed that they ever changed it from the original theme song, which was Welcome Home by Cody and Cambria. And like, they did that like 8 years after that song came out, like when that show debuted. And I'm like, that's weird, but I love it.
Yeah.
And then of course, as soon as they started the network, they changed it. And I'm like, all right, fine guys.
Every like their theme song picks always feel like they got something on sale in the bargain bin.
Right.
Like it's not a retro exciting thing yet, right, but it's definitely like that was like 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
Like that's why I was confused about like the Welcome Home by Cody and Cambria. It's just like, wait, like that's like people that actually like music like that, like that song. Like nobody likes the Nickelback or Tonight's the Night. Like Tonight's very much felt like, you know, bargain bin of like the Dollar Tree.
Yeah.
You know, but Cody and Cambria, like they had to probably like shell out some copyright money for that.
I was prepping to have to use Bad Reputation. They knew they
sure,
would.
Sure, right, yeah. And, you know, Cult of Personality and everything, yeah.
Yeah. I want to mention one final thing.
One final
before
thing.
We wrap up. So, the storyline, storylines in quotes right now, because not much of a storyline's happening. But if you can say there's a storyline happening on Raw that is, like, a bigger than a single segment kind of through line, it is the Shield going to break up?
Right. And which, like this particular episode was focused on Dean.
Yes.
And the night, like I kind of liked it.
I, in theory, liked it, but
I like that was such a focus on Dean.
I like that was a focus on Dean.
Yeah.
And my issue comes with we haven't really gotten the shield yet.
Right, yeah.
Like, yeah, they... Have they come through the audience? Have they entered through the audience? Yeah. Other than...
Yeah, they have. They did this week. I think they started the show off like that.
Did they?
All right, I'm...
Yeah, they definitely went through the crowd.
Okay.
Yeah.
Into a match?
I don't know if it was for a match or for the opening segment.
Okay, okay. Because they faced Corbin and the Ninja Turtles. What are their names? Authors of Pain?
Authors of Pain, yeah.
They're dressed like Ninja Turtles.
They do.
But, I mean, we have this issue of it's not the Shield, it's Roman and his friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we'll ever get past that.
Mm-hmm.
I hope we do.
Yeah.
I want to praise every moment that we do. If we ever get those moments, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have that issue of it being, you know, Roman and his backup. So I'm hoping that as we go into the future, that like I like Roman and Braun. That's clearly like your two biggest reaction magnets, your two top tier guys. They should obviously have a feud together. But the more that you do that, the more you force these other guys into the backup section.
Yeah.
And the only cure for that I can think of is a long extended time as the Shield.
Right.
With the Shield music and the mm-hmm. Shield entrance and the we're the Shield and we're dressed like the Shield. And we fight units of people as the Shield.
Yeah.
You know, these like three unit things.
And essentially we're getting that because like they're pretty shieldy the last few weeks. Well, and their next match on the Australia show is, you know, as the Shield.
Yeah. And no, we are taking steps in the right direction.
Right.
But that's why I'm so...
But you're looking for more than like a couple
weeks
here.
That's why it's so stressful to see like we're already teasing like breakup issues.
Right.
And there's stuff like, I like that we're acknowledging that Seth Rollins betrayed them the first time.
Yeah.
They're
not ignoring history.
Right. Yeah. That was a nice little, you know, tip of the hat to that. But at the same time, I was like, I don't want to be on the edge of my seat that the Shield's being broken up every week.
Yeah,
not yet.
No.
Mm-mm. And I'm just thinking about, honestly, the sheer joy of Evolution reuniting that last time. And they're like, we're Evolution and we're back and here's our music. And it fell into lockstep mm-hmm. immediately. You were like, this is...
Because that's what we got our hopes up with the Shield coming back after, what was it, SummerSlam? Like the night after, like the very last moment.
Before everybody got sick and we never got it?
Yes.
Yeah. But like, Evolution was Evolution immediately.
Yeah.
And part of it helped that Triple H was always in charge of Evolution. And so we didn't have this thing, you know, now we have these issues where like, part of the joy of the Shield is Dean Ambrose is the mouthpiece and Roman is the strong silent type mm-hmm. in the back.
Although we got a little bit of that this week.
We did because it was focused on Dean.
Right.
And
the moment they stop focusing on Dean, they're going to try to, you know, shoehorn. Roman is always the mouthpiece.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't.
And, you know, well, one thing you can argue is like everybody but Roman but Dean and Strowman mm-hmm. have titles here.
Yeah.
If Strowman starts carrying around that weird green belt he won in Saudi Arabia.
Right.
Which he should do when they go back to Saudi Arabia, right?
Right.
Like,
I feel like he should.
Then everybody can have a title but Dean.
And then Dean could, like, face Braun Strowman for the Saudi Arabia belt or whatever.
That would work for me. Man, the disregard that he showed for that United States title back in the day.
Man.
That was
delicious.
That was some of the best character work.
It was. Okay. Just quick few other notes. Just because we've been kind of, like, neglecting SmackDown, like, almost completely, almost like the company. Becky remains to be perfect.
Best thing in the show.
Like, this week, the backstage segments where she was, like, interacting with, like, Rusev and Lana or whatever, and she's still, like, she's, you know, just tough, badass, you know, Becky Lynch now.
Mm-hmm.
And she still threw in a little pun there, like, I said something along the lines like, you know, well, I'm Milwaukee out of here, or something along those lines. Like, but did so in like it made sense still in that character.
Yeah,
so perfect. Also Milwaukee, and I made a really good tweet a day later, is that every Aiden day needs an Aiden night.
That was nice. I saw that.
Thank you.
It's not quite as good as my Randy Orton Hell in a Cell tweet.
Sure.
Which
sure.
I will be salty until the day that I die.
And I 100% agree that tweet deserved a lot more attention. I beg of you, dear listener. Excuse me, listeners. Hey, we got more than one. Please go back on our Twitter page at CR Attire. Go through and find the Randy Orton Hell in a Cell tweet that our dear host Joel here made, and favorite and retweet, and just shower it with praise. Not because we need attention or anything, but that tweet deserves the attention.
People have been able to like launch social media careers on worse tweets than that.
Yes. Remember when they did like the ticker at the bottom?
Yeah.
The Bella Twins, somebody just, I guess their phone got lost in their pocket or something, and it just like, oh man, I need to remember what show that was on.
I don't remember.
I need to go watch all the pay-per-views within like the last 5 years.
That sounds like a good use of your time.
I'm not really doing much these days, you guys.
All right, do you have anything else?
No, I don't. It's just that, you know, infidelity storylines involving Rusev and Lana seems like a dime a dozen these days. It's like they do it like every other 6 months.
I like somebody pointed out that,
and again, we don't even know if that's the way the storyline's going because they left it all like wide open,
right?
Probably on purpose because they haven't really thought about it yet.
No, but the last time they did this, it basically got killed when they
got married,
when they posted that they were engaged
while she was supposed to be Dolph Ziggler's girlfriend,
right?
Yeah.
And so, and now that they're doing it again, you're like, you did that on purpose. You don't like these.
I did appreciate that the Happy Aiden Day shirt had the colors of the Chicago flag.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was sitting there wondering, it's like, well, he's like, their flags work for Lana Day and Rusev Day because the Bulgarian flag and the Russia flag are like that same thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how in the world are they going to do Aiden Day? And then I forgot he's from Chicago. That works.
Well done. The one place you can be from and have a flag.
And be proud of it.
Yes. As far as cities go.
Just remember, WrestleMania 27, John Cena came out with the Stars and Bar shirt. Just saying.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet Mondays, Tuesdays. We can live tweet Wednesdays twice as much now, because that's where 205 Live exists.
Yeah. There's 3 hours of wrestling on Wednesday night now.
Wow.
I sat through it yesterday. It's a lot.
It is a lot. It's a lot of wrestling. There's a lot
of
wrestling out there.
It is good wrestling for 3 hours.
I'm assuming Wednesday's the best.
Honestly,
day of wrestling,
it's
now
pretty good, and it's segmented. Like, 1 hour, you know you're going to get this, and next, yeah, that, and that. And it's so good, you guys. Oh, my God. Who thought? Anyway, continue with plug. All right, it's your turn. If you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to talk about on the show, including Joel's underappreciated tweet, send that over to our email. That's classicringattire@gmail.com.
We're also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. You get a new episode every single week. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review. That kind of stuff really helps us out as far as iTunes goes.
And if you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what other kind of things we're working on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.